I so many times thrive in being excited. Today is not going to be one of those days. I am a little bit on the meditative side today, a little bit on the low side today, because of what I was just talking about. So many times we thrive in living life, you know, in excitement and everything going good and everything going great. But sometimes life doesn't go great. Sometimes things in your heart is just so heavy. Your mind, you're frustrated. Life is just not going accordingly. And then we start to find that we are in a vulnerable position, that we're needing some help, but we do not know where help comes from. And I think that the message of today is for you who are weary, for you who are tired, for you who are frustrated with life, for you who are pursuing everything and anything and finding nothing. The last couple of weeks for your pastor has been difficult in his mind and his heart. I find myself pursuing so many things and forgetting to pursue what is main, the main thing, which is Jesus. And I was preaching this sermon on the first service, and I was like, man, this passage is for me. The theme of the passage is this: God's favor is realized when one's need is recognized. Man, I don't know about you, but I grew up having to do things on my own and had to figure out things on my own. My mom and dad was working working long hours, and me and my brother Thiago, we stay home by ourselves, and we had just figured things out. And the word favor is not a word that I grew up with. You don't ask people for a favor, right? Come in, you get it down, you figure it out. Right? You don't, favor means there's this negative aspect of the word favor, right? It means that you're vulnerable, you don't get it, that you need somebody else to come alongside you and to do something for you, right? We are Americans, and Americans are supposed to be independent people who thrive and are successful on their own, the works of their hand. Isn't that how, things are? For the most part, right? The American dream is that if you work hard, you can do it. You can get it. And then I start to realize that there's a lot of parts of life that I need people's favor. When was the last time in the last few weeks or days that you needed someone's favor? Do you remember that last time you needed someone's favor? If you think on the negative aspect of it, there's a lot of words that comes to mind. It's like, it is humiliating to need somebody. Or, that means I don't got it. That means I'm not successful. There's so many bad nuances to it. But there's a lot of good parts that comes with the idea of favor. I was looking at the dictionary earlier this week. What does the word favor means in the dictionary? And it says this: something done or granted out of goodwill. Someone comes alongside you with no strings attached and does something for you because you need it. But here, if I ought to be honest with you, I am, and I'm sure you are too, it is hard to get favor from somebody, isn't it? It is hard to do that. But here's the kicker. Here's the kicker when it comes to this idea of favor. That's exactly what Jesus came to give us. That's exactly what Jesus came to proclaim. To proclaim God's favor towards your life, which means you don't have it, you don't got it, you're pursuing all kinds of things, and the only thing you need to pursue is God's favor. See, when it comes to our relationship with God, we think we got it. We think we have Him figured out. We already know what to believe. We already have this partial knowledge of who He is, and we already following, and we think we are multiplying. But reality is there's a lot more of Jesus that we ought to know, that if we are to walk like Jesus did. Jesus, on Luke chapter 4, verses 14 and 30, makes this one point. I came to proclaim God's favor, and that's what you need in your life. But people didn't like it, like sometimes we don't like it. right? So open your Bibles to Luke chapter 4. We're going to read from verses 14 to 20 or to 30. Whatever is up there, or follow your Bibles, is from 14 to 30, all right? We read that, and I'll make some points here as we're going along. I will explain it to you. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. See, here's the thing. Jesus is born, he's growing in stature, he's baptized, and then he's taken by the Spirit to be led into the wilderness. In the wilderness, he meets Satan face to face, and Satan starts to tempt him and wants him to trip. He's tripping Jesus. Jesus don't fall for it, succeeds, he stands on God's word, he's successful against the enemy and his schemings, and then now Jesus returned to Galilee to start his ministry. This is the start of Jesus' ministry. And he's doing that through the power of the Holy Spirit. And news about him is spread throughout the whole countryside. People were happy about Jesus doing what he was supposed to do. He went to Nazareth, his hometown, when he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue. And as was his custom, Jesus did what you're doing this morning. He went to church. He stood up and read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news of the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoner, to recover the sight of the blind, to set the oppressor free, to proclaim the years of the Lord's favor." If you were here at Delaware Christian Church through the Christmas series, you know that we spend a lot of time dissecting verses 18 through 20. Jesus, through those verses, he's telling the people in the first century, this is what I came here to do, right? This is my purpose. This is what I'm here to do. I'm here to proclaim the good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom to the prisoner, to recover the sight of the blind, to set the oppressor free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus came to proclaim to people who needed God that he came to give them what they needed, which is God. I came here to proclaim the Lord's favor. Here's the thing about favor. We don't like the word favor because we think we're self-sufficient. And reality is, in our lives, we are not self-sufficient. Therefore, Jesus had to come and proclaim to you and I that what we need, we got it because he came to give it. You know how I know that? Because it says this on verse 20. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue was fastened on him. He began by saying this to them: "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." I love this because Jesus is so bold. Jesus is so bold at times, right? And nothing fazes him. So he's like, listen, I came to these people. I came to the poor. I came to the captive. I came to the prisoners. I came to the blind. I came to the oppressed. Those who need favor. Those who are in need. Those who are pursuing something to fulfill them in life. But here's the thing. I came to proclaim that, and I am that which you're looking for. That's what he's telling the people. He's telling the people in the synagogue, what you need, I got it. As you know, the word poor, there was not only someone who lacked money, it was actually someone who was poor in attitude, who was humble in his life, who needed hope in God. We know that the captives and the prisoners are those who are broken and hurt. They have bad habits and hang-ups that need to be corrected. They're bondage. They have a bondage to sin that needs to be broken. They need to be forgiven and needs to be changed. We know that the blind is not someone who can't see physically only, but someone who can't see spiritually, cannot see that Jesus is everything they need. The oppressed is those who have been oppressed by some kind of enemy and need to be released from that oppression. Jesus said, listen, some of you are poor, some of you are captive, some of you are blind, some of you are oppressed, and what you need is me. Who are you today? Maybe you're here at Delaware Christian Church and last week was not a good week for you. You may be poor in health. You may be poor financially. You may be poor emotionally, spiritually. Who are you? Maybe you're lacking hope in your life. Are you a poor guy or a poor girl? Maybe you're a captive. You're prisoner to your own sins, to the hurts and the brokenness and the bad habits and the hang-ups of life. Is that you? You're looking for freedom and forgiveness of your sins. Maybe you're blind. You're just flat out blind. You can't see how Jesus is everything you need. You just can't put a finger on Jesus. Like, is Jesus going to do for me what I need in my life right here and right now? Maybe you're just oppressed by an enemy. We all have demons, right? We all have those things that oppress our minds, our hearts. Maybe we are just oppressed by some kind of enemy that is putting us down and leading us into a moment of anxiety and depression. We are just down. I had one of those this week where I felt oppressed. Jesus, in Luke chapter 4, is telling you, you fit in one of these, and what you need is Jesus. Nothing else will do. Stop pursuing everything. Only Jesus will do. I love the rest of this passage. So all spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious word that came from his lips. Isn't this the son of Joseph? I mean, everybody likes to hear the idea that Jesus is all I need. Everybody likes to hear the idea that pursuing Jesus is important. Everybody likes to hear that. But then when you're given example and it thoughts the heart, it thoughts the mind, and it needs to come out in your hands and you start to get upset about it. I love this passage because all spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. Isn't this Joseph's son? They asked. Jesus said to them, surely you will quote this proverb to me. Physician, heal yourself. And you will tell me, do here in your hometown what you have heard you did in Capernaum. Truly I tell you, he continued, no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time when the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to the widow in the region of Speaking some Portuguese here for you. I was going to say speaking in tongues, but that doesn't work like that. And there were many in Israel with leprosy. And in the time of Elijah the prophet, yet no one was cleansed, only Naaman, the Syrian. All the people in the synagogue was furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of town, and took him to the of the hill. I'm seeing something that I'm not supposed to see. They got up, drove him out of town, and took him of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him off the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. I read this passage, I'm thinking, how these people go from speaking well of him, being amazed of the gracious words that came out of his mouth, to the end of the passage, taking him up out of town. They were furious at him, take him out of town, put him on the top of the hill and say, let's kick this guy down there. What happened? Have you ever asked that question? I'm like, man, Jesus is the most popular guy ever. Everybody loves the guy. Oh, isn't this Joseph's son? He's great. Look at the words that comes out of his mouth. Man, this guy is full of wisdom and discernment. And we love listening to him. And then in the end of the thing, it's like, we're done with that, Jesus. You're not good enough for us. We're going to take you out of town. And we're going to throw you down the hill. And well, actually, we're going to kill you right now, right there. And he walks right through them. What happened? Here's what happened, I believe. Is that Jesus was telling them what they want to hear, but when he proved the point to them, they didn't like it. And I think in the church, for us, so many times it's the same way. We spend time with Jesus. We hear all these great things about Jesus, and we start believing all these things that pleases our heart, that tickles our ears, that makes us excited. But then when we come to the meat of it all, when it comes to the reality of things, we look at Jesus and say, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa! Wait a second! I didn't sign up for this." I didn't sign up for all these things that happens in life. I didn't sign up for the hurt. I didn't sign up for the suffering. I didn't sign up for the pain. I didn't sign up for all these things. And then you come here and tell me that you are all I need. I'm not so sure I like that idea. I want something else. I want healing. I want money. I want a possession. I want a success. I want to feel good about myself. These two stories that Jesus talks about is these two stories of people who understood that God's favor is realized when one's need is recognized. And that need is God's favor. I love those two stories. I don't know if you're familiar with them. We don't have time to read it, so I'm giving you the passage. You can read it at home, but I'll give you the summary of it. The first one is 1 Kings chapter 17. This is a widow. She's going along. I'm paraphrasing, using wisdom here a little bit to play with the passage. So if you want to read the whole thing exactly, just go to 1 Kings chapter 17. You get it there. There's a lot of great details. But there's this widow. And she's going around picking up some sticks so she can make some bread for her and her kid. She had one kid, and so she's going around, picked up some bread. But before, as she's doing that, God is speaking to Elijah and say, "Hey, there is this widow, and I want you to go there. I have commanded her to build you, to make you some bread for you to eat." The skies were shut for 3 years. There was no water falling from heaven, so there was famine everywhere. People are not thriving when it comes to the being able to eat and so on and so forth. And so Elijah goes to the lady and says, "Hey, can you please go make me some bread?" And the lady's like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, wait a second, prophet. I can't do that. In my house, it's just me and my brother. I'm actually here picking up some stick to make a little bread for us because the only thing I have is a little jar with a little weed. And inside of that, there's enough for me to make bread for me and my son. We're going to eat that, and then we're going to die. That's all I need. That's all I have. I don't have nothing else." So Elijah goes like, "All right, okay. Keep getting the sticks, go there, do just like what you said you would do, but bring me the bread. Bring me the bread." I don't know if you have been in a position like this before where God asks you to do something that is crazy. God is crazy at times. Would you agree with me that God is crazy at times, right? He puts you in a difficult position at times, and he asks you to do some difficult things. And he asks that into trusting himself that he would provide for you, even though he has asked you to do something that is very difficult. Have you ever been there? Right? So he asks Elijah to do something difficult, which is to ask this lady who doesn't have anything to provide something for him, knowing that the lady, if she provided, she would die. And then God asks the lady to build Elijah food, knowing that she didn't have any more. And if she did it, she would not eat and she would still die. But there was a word of God to Elijah, and Elijah, and God said, "Listen, tell the lady to do it, and I promise you that the jar will not go empty." There was two jars, the oil jar and a weed jar, and neither of them will go empty. See, here's the thing. We read stories like that, and we think, "Oh, that was a great story in the Bible." But when God asks us to do something, and he says, "I'll provide for you," do you believe God, that God is going to provide for you? See? There is the disconnect that Jesus was trying to talk about in Luke chapter 4. We are all quickly in believing in Jesus, but when start to touch the heart, start to touch the hand, you're like, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa. I can't be building bread for somebody else because I'm not so sure you're going to provide for me, Jesus." But here's the thing. God's favor comes through obedience to him and to his word. So the lady goes, makes bread for her and her son and Elijah, and guess what happened? The jar never went empty, neither the oil jar or the wheat jar. That's the kind of God we have. He is the one who's going to give us what we need. He's the fulfillment of all everything we need. And pursuing Him in obedience brings us God's favor. That means that He is going to be gracious to you and I to provide for us what we need. The second story is a healing story. That's a provision story. God can provide for you, provided that you are obedient to His word, even when He puts you in a difficult position. The second one is this. There's a guy called Naaman. He's a very important guy on the kingdom of Syria. He's an armed guy. He's very successful. But he had leprosy, right? He was sick, had leprosy. Even though he was successful, he had this one thing that was not good in his life. So he goes to his king, and so a servant, an Israel servant, was taken as a captivity from Israel to Syria. It's a long story. You can go ahead and read. It's Second Kings chapter 5. The lady hears that Naaman has leprosy and say, hey, I know if he goes to Israel, in Israel, if he talks to the king, he can be healed. So Naaman hears about that. He goes to Israel, meets with the king, and the Israelite king goes crazy. Like, who you think I am, God now, to heal you from leprosy? Nobody gets healed from leprosy. How dare you to come here and ask me to be healed? Elijah hears it about it and say, hey, king, send Naaman to me. I would love to talk to Naaman about that. So Naaman, this important guy, this armed guy, you know, everywhere he went, people bowed down to him and was ready to serve him. Naaman comes to Elijah's door, and Elijah doesn't even open the door, not even meet the guy, sends a servant and say, hey, tell Naaman to go wash himself 7 times in the Jordan River. Naaman was probably thinking there was some magic thing and some smoke and some this and some that going to happen, you know. But then he meets somebody else's servant who's telling him to go wash himself on the Jordan River, which is a dirty river compared to the rivers of Syria. So he gets mad. Naaman gets mad, you know. How dare this Elijah prophet tells me to go take a shower on this dirty river? We have better rivers in Syria. And then the servant is like, you know what? If you want God's favor, I think I would listen to the prophet. If you want God's favor, I would listen to the prophet. See, so many times we think we feel entitled that God will do for us what we want Him to do at the way that we want it done. So many times we feel like we're important as Naaman. We are important people. Look at who I am. I have this, I have that, I have done this, I have done that. And it's not only spiritually, emotionally, physically. We think we're more special than we are. And then God comes and asks us to do something crazy, something that is a little bit on the humble side of things. And we stand up and we say, no, I'm not doing that. But here's the thing. God's favor is dependent on obedience. We're not entitled to God's favor. It is He giving us graciously. If you want God's favor, do what God says. Naaman goes in the Jordan River, ducks himself 7 times into the water, and he is healed. See, here's the thing about God's favor. Here's the thing about favor is that we don't like to admit that we need God in our lives. Here's the thing I have found in my Christian walk, is that when we need healing, we go to doctors. I'm all for doctors. There's doctors in this building, and that's great. When we go to medicine, that's awesome. When we need wisdom, we go to the wise person, and why is this? When we need direction, we go here. When we need wholeness, we go there. When we need freedom, we go here, we go there. Listen, let me tell you, Jesus is sufficient. He has everything, and He controls everything. Everything is in the palm of His hand. This is what Jesus is telling here, these people, and that's why they're so upset. And that's the reality that upsets us over and over and over in walking in life on planet Earth, is that we think pursuing other things will do when the Bible tells us the only Jesus, simply Jesus, He is the only one who will do. It is the favor of God that is required, not just to save us, but to go on and transforming us holy. It is the favor of God that brings healing, wholeness, strength, and courage, wisdom, and direction for every aspect of life. It is the favor of God that brings freedom from sinful habits and hang-ups all throughout our lives. It is the favor of God that empowers the learning, loving, and living the Jesus way in our relationships in our everyday life. Listen, Christians, listen, church, listen. If we're going to put somebody else first before Jesus, we're going to fail. And I'm afraid that we are failing because Jesus, it is not first in our lives. I think he uses everything else. I think he uses all kinds of stuff to bring us healing. All kind of people to guide us through healing. I believe I am not against all the provision, the resources that we have. And on the 21st century, we are blessed people. But first thing must be first. Jesus, simply Jesus, Jesus must be our first pursuit. Listen, for the last half an hour, 23 minutes, I've tried to make one point for you. What is that point? Jesus. And it is my goal for the next 3 weeks to prove to you through God's word that Jesus has the power to overcome demonic forces that sometimes oppresses us. He has power over healing that oppresses us. That he has power over the natural world that brings pain and suffering to us. If we pursue Jesus as the first, the primary thing, I believe that the rest of our lives will change forever. So I pray that you join me for the next few weeks as we study the book of Luke and understand how we ought to pursue Jesus and Jesus alone in our lives. For freedom, recovery, release, and favor to happen to us. Maybe this morning, you have been pursuing all kind of crazy in order to have a solution, a specific solution for your life. See, the people of Israel was really upset with Jesus when, the Jewish people was really upset with Jesus when he said to them, "I am the only thing you need." They tried to throw him out of the mountain and just throw him out and say, "Hey, we're done with it. We have all these other things." Maybe you're in the same position today. Hearing that Jesus is the only thing you need is just not going to do it for you. So I pray that that today you'd release that attitude from your mind and from your heart. And that you'd open up your mind and open up your heart to the possibility of Jesus being the one thing you need. And I'm not saying scratch everything else. I'm just saying maybe you have the order in the wrong position. Maybe you have somebody else taking the first place. And Jesus deserved the first place. He is the one who's going to make a way. Nobody else will do. We have been living in this way for a while, haven't we? So would you be open to the possibility that maybe pursuing Jesus as the first and the primary thing would change the results that you have got in your life thus far? I hope that the next few weeks will help you realize that Jesus is everything you need because he has the power not only to save, but to deliver and to heal. Let's worship God.